Now, have you ever yelled at a referee? Last night, I'm very embarrassed to say, I was screaming at my TV. The World Cup rugby match between Australia and Wales in Tokyo had one particularly frustrating moment. One of Australia's best performers, Samu Karevi, ran straight through a Welsh defender. And then there was this prolonged video review that saw him penalised for bumping off a defender with his arm, which seems pretty ridiculous considering it's a contact sport. Arguably, yeah, that is the point of running the ball at someone. It was then followed up by an intercept try, which was pretty much a difference in the game, which is why I'm so bitter. I'll put it out there. I'm still a bit bitter. The score was 29 to 25. Now, the Australian coach, Michael Checker, wasn't too happy with this either. Here's what he had to say.
When our guy makes that tackle and has the high tackle framework in his head, he gets suspended. When this guy doesn't think about the high tackle framework, we get penalised. As a former player, I'm embarrassed about that.
Yeah, so he's obviously not happy either. And this whole incident goes to a much broader question than just rugby and our disappointment at losing. It's about video reffing in sport. It's a part of so many sports now, particularly important in tennis, also cricket. The question is it good for sport and is it good for spectators? Tom Webb is the coordinator of the Referee and Match Official Research Network at the University of Portsmouth in England. Tom, welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Now, I imagine you're not a Wallabies fan. You're probably a fan of England, who we'll come up against later in the World Cup, hopefully. But how did you read last night's controversial call?
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't overly surprised, mainly because, I mean, there's been criticism of the referees from, you know, the governing body, World Rugby, in terms of their performances. And also, we've seen in other sports that when laws are changed or different directives are given to match officials in terms of how technology is used or introduced, it can have an effect on how they officiate the game. And what we're seeing at the moment is this directive in terms of the laws of the game from 2017 in terms of contact with the head, which is where a lot of these issues are coming from in terms of the what many people perceive as sort of differences in the decisions that the referees are making. And I think that's one of the problems. And it goes back to the protocols and how they're being used and how the technology is being implemented.
I guess this goes to the heart of this, and I guess the complexity, and I guess also the reason why you shouldn't yell at referees, because they're basically the meat in the sandwich of these new protocols.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They're applying the laws of the game. They're interpreting the directives as they've been asked to interpret them. And of course, then you have the TMO, the video official, interjecting and telling the referee that they should be looking at certain incidents and things like that during the game. And what can happen is, as we've seen in this World Cup, quite often the halves of rugby are elongated. So I think the other day, you know, 40 minutes turns into something that's over 50 minutes, for example. And much of that is because of the conversation between the referee and the TMO and the interjection between, you know, the TMO and the referee on the field of play. So it does have an impact on the game, but absolutely, referees are directed to implement the laws as instructed by the governing body.
Okay, and which other sports have, I guess, integrated virtual assistant refereeing and video refereeing into their decision-making?
Well, it's a really interesting one. So you mentioned in the lead-in about tennis and Hawkeye's coming to tennis, and that's actually, you know, relatively straightforward as long as the technology is accurate enough, because either a ball is over a line or inside a line. And if you can measure to the accurate, you know, the centimetre or the degree of accuracy that you need, then obviously either a ball's in or out. In cricket, obviously, technology's been introduced and there were quite a lot of controversies over the summer, particularly in the Ashes series, where a number of umpire decisions were overturned. And what we do get then is sort of a questioning of the status and standing of the on-field official, and that can be a bit of a problem. We've also seen technology introduced into, as you mentioned, soccer. Now, the problem with those two sports is that there's many more subjective calls in those sports, yes, rather than tennis, for example. And that's when we start to get problems, because even if we take soccer and VAR being introduced in the World Cups and also in the Premier League and other leagues around the world, the problem there is what we're seeing is we've still got someone else's opinion. So you've got the on-field referee who makes a decision, and then it might be referred and the VAR makes a decision, but it's still someone's subjective opinion on many of the laws. The reason goal line technology works in soccer is because, again, either a ball's over a line or it's not over a line. And as long as the technology is accurate enough, we believe it.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking about virtual assistant refereeing, which uses video technology. And you're listening to Tom Webb. He's a coordinator of referee and match official research at the University of Portsmouth. And he's basically helping me calm down after a controversial decision in last night's Rugby World Cup. That's really what's going on here. Tom, so I guess how do you weigh up the pros and cons, particularly we're at a relatively early stage of embracing this technology?
It's a really difficult one, and there's no quick fix. Things like law changes or amendments that have been introduced because of technology and things like that, they take time to bed in, as do the protocols for how you use the technology. So it doesn't happen overnight, and rugby union has used, you know, video referees for a much longer period than many other sports, in fact. But it does take time. And what we have to weigh up is, how much is on the line? And professional sport now, there's so much, you know, sponsorship, prize money, things like that, that are involved. You know, it's players' careers, it's coaches' careers. So that's why they want as much accuracy from these decision-making processes as possible. And that's why technology is introduced. However, we have to weigh that up against, you know, how it impacts upon the spectacle, how it impacts upon the supporters in the stadium, how it impacts upon the players that are playing the game. Because we saw once that incident happened that you referred to with Rhys Patchell, the Welsh player,
getting smashed fairly and squarely.
And what we saw then was a question of his tackling technique, you know, and things like that. And the Australian players just didn't really understand what they'd done wrong in that incident. Now, that's when we start to have some issues, because then, win or lose, if players don't quite understand what's trying to be implemented or why a decision's been given, that's when we start to get problems. Because in any sport, the rule makers will say what we want is consistency, we want standardisation, and we want players to know what the impact of an incident or a misdemeanour will be. What is the penalty going to be?
Sure.
And if they don't understand that, that's when we start getting problems.
Okay, just before we go, Tom, you've outlined that introducing this technology is invariably going to come with some teething problems. Do you think we should keep going on this journey of embracing more technology to have more accurate calls? Or do you think we might actually get to the point where we're like, you know what, let's just go back to the old days where there was a referee and a whistle?
I think that's a really interesting point, because I think we're almost a bit of a quandary, because we've got so many people saying we want accuracy, particularly at the top level. We need consistency. We need to know that the decisions are correct, because there's so much on the line. But we've got other people saying, but you know, we can't devalue the game. We can't devalue the authenticity. And if we take too much away from the on-field referee or match official, then what we're doing is devaluing that position. And then before long, do we even need them on the field of play, you know, if we take it sort of to the nth degree? Uh-huh. And that's when we start to have problems again with how that technology is being implemented. And we have to think really carefully about its use, about its value, and about what it's bringing to the game. And if we come to a conclusion that perhaps it's not bringing as much as we thought, or it needs to be changed, then we shouldn't be afraid of changing it. But I think, given the technology that's there, I think a lot of it is about how we use it. And I think that's the important point. How do we use it? Is it being used effectively?
And is it affecting your team? Tom Webb, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Tom Webb's a coordinator at the Referee and Match Official Research Network at the University of Portsmouth. Interesting to hear him say that ultimately it might get to the point where we don't have a referee or an umpire out on the field, which begs the question, who would you yell at?